Good afternoon, and welcome to Talk of the Towns, where we try to go behind the headlines to make sense of the issues facing Maine communities, to share what works, and to seek alternative solutions. Talk of the Towns has aired on WERU Community Radio since 1993, dedicated to the proposition that everyone benefits when we share our knowledge, our experience, our concerns, and our perspectives. We're about to practice the magic of community radio, in which those of us in our virtual studio and those who are listening create a dialogue that we hope will be of benefit to our friends, our neighbors, and colleagues. We are your co-hosts, Liz Graves and Ron Beard, hoping you'll stay with us for the next hour and talk of the towns. And a reminder that we're recording this show in advance and won't be taking calls today. This afternoon, our topic is sauna, community saunas. I will endeavor to say sauna instead of sauna, but I'm told there's a tradition and proper pronunciation. So there's growing interest in our region in this tradition and practice, and both the structures themselves and how people interact with them and the health and other benefits. It's a new book by Garrett Conover called Sauna Magic, Health, Happiness, Community. And we're thrilled to have him here with us and have had him get us excited about this topic and gather the rest of our guests, sauna involved folks. So our other guests, in addition to Garrett, we have Jackie Stratton of Cedar Grove Sauna in Montville, Genevieve Parrish of Rest Day in Monson, and Gail, who is a member of the leadership team of Silky Sauna, which is based here on MDI. So maybe we'll start with Garrett to ask if you would tell us just a little bit about your background and we'll start there. Who are you? And we'll get more into the project in a few minutes.
Okay. I was a Northwoods guide in Maine, Quebec, and Labrador, and sometimes Minnesota for 30 years. Didn't come to sauna culture until I was adult, which is an advantage in some ways because every little detail is of interest to me. And if I had just grown up in it, there'd be too much I would have just internalized and not known was significant. So I guess for a bunch of years now, I've been kind of hyper-focused on sauna interests.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. Well, then we'll come back to that story. Jackie, over in Montville, what do you want people to know about you and how you came to be where you are and what you're doing?
Sure. I run Cedar Grove Sauna, which is based in Montville, Maine. We have two saunas there, and there are two mobile saunas as well that do pop-ups around Maine, mostly on the ocean. And I got to saunas, I think maybe about 13 years ago, a group of friends and I built a really crappy sauna out of we converted it from a woodshed, and we saunaed every Sunday throughout the cold months and had a potluck, and a lot of folks had lived off grid. And so it was like the weekly bath place, and it just made winters absolutely not only bearable, but amazing. And that's just been in the back of my head for years. And so I started the business in 2020.
Great. And over to Genevieve, who's in Monson. And we could say too, where you grew up, if you like, if it was nearby or far away.
Sure. And my name's pronounced Genevieve.
Genevieve, I'm so sorry. Thank you.
No, no problem at all. So I grew up in California, actually, and moved to Maine with my husband, who grew up here. We met in California when he was young, and we moved here. We started coming here, 20, 30 years ago. And we moved here permanently when I was able to bring my job with me and work remote. And that was about 5 or 6 years ago. And I've always loved sauna, and I've only recently learned to pronounce it sauna from Garrett's book. So I do like code switch quite a lot back and forth depending on who I'm talking to. But my grandmother actually had an electric sauna in her basement, and I always like to go in there and read a book. And it wasn't very hot. I didn't really learn about the kind of like Finnish tradition until I was an adult, and I visited some very beautiful saunas in on the West Coast, one in California in a beautiful place called Cow Creek, and actually another in Idaho. And this was just like a very, once in a lifetime kind of opportunity to visit these gorgeous wood-fired saunas. And then when we got our house on the lake during the pandemic, and we sort of serendipitously got a sauna that was going to be demolished, and it was moved to our property, and it was all very serendipitous. And we started to sauna weekly, and just the same kind of experience with what Jackie said. It really made winter just wonderful. Being from California, I mean, winter here is harsh. It's so harsh and long. And being able to take a sauna makes you feel like you're kind of in control of it, and that you're the master of your body temperature. So I just think it's a wonderful health benefit and life benefit. And so I'm just in the beginning stages of starting to offer sauna to the public here, and we're building a bigger sauna to house maybe up to 12 people, and also a mobile sauna will be the next project, in the chassis of a 1969 Airstream Ambassador.
Ooh, fun.
We're very excited about all our projects.
So over to Gail. Tell us about yourself first, and we'll talk in more detail about Silky Sauna, which I'm excited to in a few more minutes.
Okay. So I'm Gail, and I'm from Pennsylvania originally, Philadelphia area. Moved to Maine to work for the park, the national park, and discovered, I think the Selke Sauna is a group of us who own it, and we started out as cold water swimmers, and probably in 2020, it was right around COVID times, and that group really grew as people just were able to connect with the being outside and just the benefits of the cold water. Probably a couple years into that, we decided like we need a sauna because it's cold and wouldn't it be wonderful? We had, there's several places on the island that we would like to go to get in the water. So we thought like, oh man, we could put a sauna on a trailer and take it to these spots. And so from there, a bunch of us kind of pooled our resources and purchased a sauna. And and then we turned into Selke Sauna from there. So I'm one of currently, well, there's eight of us now who kind of run the business part, but there's many other Selkies who use the sauna too.
Great. Well, let's go to Garrett and learn a little bit more about what fascinated you about saunas and what led you to this wonderful book. It's called Sauna Magic, and it's just a wonderful invitation to participate, to learn more, to participate. What led you to write the book?
I guess, I have a penchant for sliding into things in reverse and sideways and by indirect means. And I think it started from the photography end of life because I was greatly annoyed that probably 98 point something percent of any sauna imagery I'd seen anywhere was a bunch of you know, 18-year-old people current, you know, in whatever the current aesthetic was for youth and beauty. And I thought, nothing looks heated, nothing looks real. I'm sick of boring, perfect bodies. I wonder if you can even photograph at temperature and guarantee authenticity by normal people doing their normal activity. And everything's against you, low light, small space, high heat. And I kept getting away with it. And I started that back in the slide era. And when I went digital, look, digital cameras still could handle it, at least the model I was using, and subsequent models don't. A little LED comes on and says, camera too hot, shut down. So I bought a couple used bodies for backup of the one that works. And I was doing, initially I was doing sweat lodges because, you know, I could make them myself, and eventually met a person in Vermont who had access and had helped build a Finnish sauna. And so much of my influence is really from the Finnish traditions. And since the book, it's expanded greatly to basically all the Baltic countries and Scandinavia and Russia. And I haven't ventured into Middle Eastern hammam traditions or Mexican temazcal, but there's all over the world there is some sweat bathing tradition. So that's how it started. And then as I started getting pictures that appealed to me, I thought, well, I'm interested in this. I wonder if, you know, there's very few books in English on the topic, and most of them aren't great. There's sections that are good, sections you get all excited by. And so I eventually conceived of, why don't you just interview different saunas and their people? And then you'll get a big diversity of perspectives and opinions and traditions. And so that's how that came about.
I think what you do so nicely is to introduce the traditions. And as you said, I'm using the Finnish tradition as the beginning. And then you lead us through a series of profiles of saunas that you've kind of encountered, the people that created them, the creative people who use them. And as you just said, gorgeous, gorgeous photographs that really invite the reader into the experience. It's just really wonderful. You've profiled saunas in Maine, in Minneapolis. What connects all of those things for you?
Well, I think the overarching tradition of sweat bathing practice, or what's now called thermic culture, is the main glue. But then everybody's got all their own individual little additions and personal traditions, and but this huge volume of different mythologies and histories and family traditions and cultural traditions, it's just, there's really no limits on any of the topics.
And what I see in the photographs is something that you draw out, and it's kind of an aesthetic for the whole experience. The notion that this is almost sacred. This is a sacred practice, and your photographs and your text bring that out so nicely. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Well, let's hear from some of our other guests and go a little bit deeper into your own experience, how you perhaps learned and describe your operations. Gail, could we start with you? Gail Gladstone is with Selke Sauna on Mount Desert Island. How did you learn about sauna traditions? You got started with a swimming group. cold water swimming, but you said we want to get warm.
I guess we got into it kind of backwards too, like Garrett said, where we started with the cold water swimming. That experience was just pretty transformative. You know, I know that everybody's, there's a lot of talk about the benefits of it now, and people are more interested in it. So the sauna was kind of we're a boisterous group, and we were excited to, you know, take it to another level, I guess. So we got a barrel sauna, which was just a kit that we ordered online, and we put it together in a couple of weekends. And putting it on a trailer was a little challenging. We were just really making it up as we went along. But that's the one thing about cold water swimming is, like, once you do that, you're like, I can do anything. So nothing was stopping us. And we got it on the trailer and kind of tweaked it and did the things that we needed to do and figured out how to operate it. And once we started using it, it became very clear to most of us that we had to share it. It was like, we couldn't haul this thing around the island and have this amazing experience with the hot and the cold and not share it with the community. It was a no-brainer for sure.
Mm. What have you learned about sauna tradition, do you suppose, in your experience?
Well, it's interesting because Maine, you know, it's the perfect climate, similar to Minnesota, you know, Wisconsin, where it's more of a common thing. I guess Maine, we don't have the Scandinavian culture, there isn't that background here. So the traditions, it felt like we were just kind of making it up. Like, we can, you know, we could do it a Maine style sauna, which is just, you know, however you want it to be. And so we did, you know, we do the heat and the steam and all that kind of stuff. And you can go outside and, you know, I don't know. We're just making it up.
Great.
It's however you want it to be.
Is there an expectation that there'll be conversation inside the sauna, or does it tend to be quiet? I'm curious about how that evolved.
Oh, yeah. So we started doing a community sauna, which is, you know, we'd park it somewhere for a couple of hours and people could sign up for a seat. And then you end up in there with five other people you've maybe never met before. And there's often conversation. There's no expectation of you have to talk or you don't have to talk, but it's fun to just sitting outside the sauna as people are in it, hearing the conversations and the kind of murmuring. And then all of a sudden there's laughter and it just grows. And it's just something, yeah, that is, I don't know if that's a sauna tradition, but it definitely, you're in the space with people and you have to take the time to do the sauna. It's not, you know, you can't do a fast sauna really, I don't think. And then you just, it kind of, you know, I've heard this before, it just like peels the layers off of people as they're sitting there together. It's pretty special for sure.
Great. I'll just remind listeners, they're tuned to Talk of the Towns this afternoon. You've just heard from Gail Gladstone, who's with Selkie Sauna in Bar Harbor. We're also joined by Jackie Stratton, Cedar Grove Sauna in Montville, Genevieve Parish of Rest Day Sauna in Monson, and Garrett Conover, author of Sauna Magic. And you have your own sauna operation as well. You have your own sauna, Garrett.
Oh, yes. That predated all the book project and everything. It's, I think, 27 years old now.
Right. Well, let's go to your nearest neighbor on this show anyway, Genevieve Parish in Monson. And there is a Finnish tradition in that part of Maine, is there not? Tell us a little bit more, go a little deeper in terms of the practice that you've created since moving to Monson.
Yeah, I mean, our sauna practice is really just kind of like a family practice, family and friends at the moment, and kind of a rotating guests once in a while. We definitely are looking forward to expanding it to more of the public. But, you know, we do what feels good. We get in the sauna when it's nice and hot after it's heated for a couple hours usually. And we use water or snow. I sometimes wonder if I made that tradition up, but we bring a big bucket of snow in with us in the winter and use it both to create steam and also scrub our bodies with it. And it feels wonderful. And the sauna is close to the lake. So we do go in the lake all year round if we can. We haven't been able to keep a hole open all winter this year, but we hope to in the future have more effort behind that to keep it open because, you know, by this time of year, the ice is very thick. It's hard to get it open, but it's starting to melt again at the, I can see the lake from here, at the edges, so we'll be able to go in again soon. So, yeah, I definitely... Growing up, like I said, the sauna was like this, you know, once in a great while kind of really magical, special destination. And also like related to that was a lot of natural hot springs. I would go to visit with my friends and do the same kind of hot, cold adventures of getting into the hot water and then into cold water. Mm. And let's see, there's always a lot of great conversation in the sauna. I think like people get, I don't know, your guard comes down. And also there's a lot of dopamine and adrenaline flowing, and there's a lot of laughter, and especially outside the sauna when you're cooling down and getting in the lake, it's very energizing. So it's really a fun time. And we always have snacks afterwards, lots of snacks, salty snacks. So that's one of our traditions as well.
Well, let's learn a little bit more about Jackie Stratton's Operation Cedar Grove Sauna in Montville. Tell us a little bit more about your operation and the traditions that you've kind of created there.
Sure. So as I mentioned before, in Montville at the 200-year-old homestead, there's two saunas. And it first started out as there was a sauna in the backyard and I was working on the mobile sauna, but I hadn't done much carpentry before, and I've built most of the saunas. I've done most of the work on the saunas, and so because I was taking so long building the mobile sauna, I invited the public to my backyard. And because it was COVID and people weren't going out to restaurants, it was like the perfect date night, and it very quickly became very popular. And on the other side of things, the two mobile saunas, I bring those primarily to two locations. One, Glidden Point Oyster Farm on the Damariscotta River in Edgecombe. And then right now they're set up at Spinney's Restaurant and Lodging on Popham Beach, which feels like the end of the earth, especially right now having no electricity down there. And then I bring them to Rockland Harbor and then Craigner Inn on the St. George Peninsula as well. And so that gives an opportunity similar to what Gail and Selkie Sauna are doing. Provides people like a comfortable way to interact with the ocean in the winter. And a lot of people drive to the ocean and sit and look at it in their cars, and people who are wild and crazy and bold, like Gail, et cetera, go in the water. And now, more and more people are engaging with the ocean because they have this warm space, to come back to. So when I started, as I mentioned, I didn't know carpentry. I had just some experience with sauna here in Maine and New Hampshire and out west. I went to college in Colorado and kind of was involved in some hot springs culture. And so when I came back to Maine, it was like, Maine does not have hot springs, so we should develop more saunas. And there is a lot of sauna culture here. There's a lot of Finnish immigrants up in the Monson area and down near where I live as well. They worked a lot in the quarries. And so I was reading every book that was available in the interlibrary loan system in Maine on saunas. I've gotten every book and I've read every word. And that was my background. I don't like researching things on the internet. I'd rather just have a book and look at it. So that's originally how I got started. And anytime a Finnish person would come to my saunas, I would almost interrogate them with questions and learn more and more about their culture. And then last year, I hosted two folks, thanks to Garrett, who connected us, Rimas and Barute from Lithuania, who run the International Bath Academy, and Scandinavian and Baltic countries and some others have really rich histories in sauna culture and ritual. And so they came and taught a week worth of classes. And Gail came last May. And since then, I've been studying with them in Lithuania and I've explored Latvia and Finnish sauna culture, and just went back to Finland this past January to dive deeper. And so I started out getting books in the library, and now I know the culture keepers from these origin countries, and I feel so grateful to be able to learn from them and continue to pass that information along and share those experiences here in Maine. And people are really ready for it. They want to go deeper than, you know, like the gym sauna experience.
Liz, do you want to
awesome.
Take it
yes,
up from here?
That, yeah, that goes exactly perfectly into another couple questions I want to ask, and I'll stay with you, Jackie, to first. One is, what you just said makes me ponder as a provider of a service that's a business, is it similar to massage therapy? I noticed there that's mentioned in Garrett's book, that you're introducing folks to a particular practice, which is very intense and personal and maybe some sort of spiritual for some folks, and also wanting to leave them space to do what feels right for them, like on their date night, or if it's more of that energy. So how do you feel out where folks are at on that spectrum?
Well, all of the saunas that we offer, we greet people, we give them an orientation, and then we give them space. Most people have basic experience with sauna, and even if you don't know much of anything, as long as you understand you get hot, you get cold, you get hot, you get cold, you can enjoy yourself. And this past week, I started offering Pirtis sessions, so bringing that Lithuanian tradition and doing 2-hour, like really intensive guided sessions. And people have been coming who regularly go to private sessions, or I offer a broad range of public sessions every day. And they're like, ooh, I can bring that to the public session. And it's like they've been given information and permission to use the sauna a little bit more deeply or differently than just basically sitting in the room and feeling the steam. So
is that from the Finnish side? What's that word?
Pirtis, Lithuanian.
Oh, Lithuanian. Okay. That was what you learned from that. Nice. Yeah. Cool. So a bit of a pivot, as I said, I had the questions just appeared in my head, and so they're not necessarily flowy. But the other thing I wanted to ask you about, since you mentioned having done a lot of the work yourself, is like what physically makes a sauna in these traditions. So what I have in my head is not even a sauna. It's, I know in Maine boat building traditions, there's a lot of wood-fired hot tubs, which is obviously you're sitting in water versus sitting in warm, humid air. I get that they're not the same, but they also have a lot in common. There's a wooden structure, especially the silky one that is barrel-like, and there's a wood stove. So I just wondered if you could tell us how the unit works. And there's a wood stove, and there are usually rocks or something else to, and
So I think there are many ways to build a sauna, and I know a lot of people are thinking about building their own, and there's so many questions that people have. You know, electric or wood fired are both great options. Ventilation, and so it's not just a closed off box. There are vents in the floor and or the walls to allow the air to circulate. And I would say an absolute requirement is to have rocks in on the stove. And the Finnish word for the sauna stove is a kiwas. And so I'm going to butcher this. I apologize to all Finnish people listening, but the water poured on the rocks is like an integral part of the experience. Finnish friends of mine say it's like a lifeless box if you don't have that in order to produce lolu, which is the steam coming off. And it's more than steam. It's like the essence and spirit of sauna and the people. And then something that most American saunas do not have is the ability to have water inside and drains. And so in a lot of bathing traditions, you use a lot of water inside, not just on the kiwas. And it's the one thing when people are thinking about building their own, I tell them, please go sauna at a place where you can have water inside and see how delicious that experience is. And then think about if you want to incorporate that into your build. And so most Americans use cedar to line their saunas. And that's not necessarily the case in Scandinavian Baltic countries. They use mostly spruce. They don't have cedar. But some sort of softwood, low density wood. You don't want to use like oak or cherry because it'll feel like you're burning yourself on that wood. Ventilation, rocks, and I think drainage are like real big keys to.
What do you mean by having water inside? I don't know if we're talking about water to drink or I'm getting.
Yeah, to bathe.
Okay.
Saunas are for bathing, and you can. Being really hot inside and pouring cold water on your head or like using soap just is so divine. And so to not have that opportunity, you're missing out a little bit.
Garrett, what would you add to that description of how to build and operate a sauna? What would you add?
Well, I'm of the school that really favors wood fired over other options because the quality of the heat is better. The wood structure components, as Jackie was saying, cedar or whatever's available, minor poplar logs. It turns out that's tradition in Finland. I didn't know it at the time, but I lucked out. The wood, it's not just a heated room. The entire structure needs to be fully heated and re-radiating that heat. So it's not just coming through the air or the steam, it's coming from every part of that building. So it's a whole picture thing, and there's so many billions of details that they often have their own books. There's a couple of builders' manuals out there that cover all these points really well. Mine's more of an essence book, not so much how to.
I was glad that Genevieve mentioned snacks. That seems like an important part of many cultural traditions. So I noticed some pictures of some in Garrett's book, and what curious to hear what Jackie and Gail learned in the workshop about if there are particular snacks in the Lithuanian tradition and what Genevieve's favorite salty snacks are with her family and maybe planning to share with her future guests. Tell us about snacks. Who wants to go first? Gail?
I like citrus for the snacks. There was, I went to Denmark and did a sauna there. And they had a lot of salty snacks, and pork rinds was like very popular. I know. And they come out and eat the pork rinds, but they also had the grapefruit and orange, which was so refreshing. That's my favorite.
Sauna can be so intense on your body, and to expect you to be able to digest a lot while you're in there is asking maybe too much of your body. And I love yeah, I love citrus in the sauna. When you open an orange inside and all those essential oils just spread in the air. And I've found a lot of cultures have a mix of what Gail was saying, like juicy, fruity stuff, and then exactly like heavy, salty, fat, protein rich. And it's a pretty wide spectrum. In Finland, makra, it's a sausage, is very popular. And most saunas actually have like a communal grill, and you can buy a single or a pack of sausage and grill them, and always have mustard on them.
Genevieve, what's your snack tradition?
Yeah, so we generally eat after the sauna, although my daughter has to bring snacks into the sauna. She has to be eating all the time in the sauna because she burns her calories that quickly. But I put out a tray of snacks, like salty things like nuts or smoked fish, cheese, you know, everything you would want in a snack board, fruit, chocolate. Just have a little party afterwards and celebrate the good feeling that you have.
So each of you have mentioned a variety of benefits. Do you see, or is there a sense of the health benefits that you could describe to folks who perhaps have never had, some radio listeners who've never had a sauna? What would you say some of the health benefits might be for the participant? Stay with Genevieve.
So I'm not a doctor, and I just have to be
you don't
clear
play one on
about
TV,
that.
Right.
I tell you, but I think that sauna is wonderful for the skin, and it's wonderful for cardiovascular processes in the body. I have read and also felt that particularly like the hot sauna, cold plunge cycle is just a huge dumper of dopamine into the system. So all the wonderful feeling that comes from those sorts of activities. And, you know, I mean, people tell me all kinds of wonderful benefits that they feel as well, that, you know, it takes care of a cold, or it clears up their skin, or just gives you a lot of energy. I always say I feel 5 years younger every time afterwards. Just feel energized and very, very clean and fresh. And just
great. I'm going to remind listeners that they're tuned to Talk of the Towns. We'd like to break in occasionally and remind folks what they're listening to. So you're listening to Talk of the Towns. We're talking today about the magic of sauna tradition here in Maine and around the world. And you've just heard from Genevieve Parrish of Rest Day Sauna in Monson. Also have Jackie Stratton of Cedar Grove Sauna in Montville, and Gail Gladstone of the Selke Sauna, a mobile sauna in Bar Harbor, and Garrett Conover, author of Sauna Magic, published by the Maine Authors Guild in 2019. Garrett, what would you add in terms of the health benefits that you've read about or experienced or had heard people talk about?
Can I add to the question?
Yes, please.
For everybody else too. So I'm curious, Genevieve mentioned, and this was so useful for me, that there's dopamine, the feel-good brain chemical, but also adrenaline, that there are moments in both hot and cold experiences of like, oh my gosh, this is scary, or can I do this? And I, so I'm curious about that balance, because if there are moments in sauna as the heart rate speeds up that are also involve some adrenaline,
I can add a little bit to that. I think that's just a sense that I've had, but maybe other people agree that that there, in some ways, sauna, it feels wonderful, but in other ways, it feels like terrible at moments. It's like something you have to overcome. Your body has to overcome the heat, and it teaches you how to overcome adversity, teaches your body how to overcome adversity. So it's similar to, you know, like running or, you know, laying on a bed of nails or those kinds of practices that are like acupuncture. Things that teach your body how to overcome adversity give you your brain and body pathways to heal and recover. And I think there might be something to that in the extreme heat and then the extreme cold that is often accompanied with sauna.
Well, let's hear from Garrett.
That's just my opinion.
Yep. Let's hear from Garrett, see if you have anything to add. And then we'll go to the cold water experience with Gail, talking about that's how it started for Gail. But Garrett, what would you add in terms of what you know about any health benefits or spiritual kind of psychological benefits to saunas?
Well, I think it covers the entire spectrum. There are actually some very kind of boring, not for lay people treatises on medical research, mostly in Europe. Western doctors shy away from it just because of they're unfamiliar with sauna at all. So they advise on the side of caution. Mm-hmm. I'd rather pay attention to a bunch of Finnish grandmothers who have had their babies in sauna and have started their infants at some months old and have never, you know, if anything bad happened, we'd have heard about it by now, thousands of years into the tradition. But in terms of immediate benefits, as far as I can tell, there's nothing negative about sauna. And any of the single marvels, to me, are enough for total obsession with it. But so you think in terms of respiratory, cardiovascular, you know, the health elements. And the Germans are very health conscious about sauna. I'm very American and I just like euphoria. If sauna were a drug, it would be illegal. And the bliss in euphoria is results from both the physical parts of it, but it's also, it occurs in a solo sauna. It occurs in a communal sauna. There's all this silence that's illuminating or conversations that go deep very quickly. When you're naked on the bench, you're equal. It's an inclusive, safe environment. There's no hierarchy or hiding. And even if you're in a public sauna wrapped in a towel or a sari or a swimsuit, that egalitarian aspect is very, very present. And there's actually a term, I don't know what it is in Finnish, but it translates to sauna diplomacy. And corporations in a lot of the Baltic countries and Scandinavian countries have a corporate sauna where the janitor and the CEO meet. And there's no trappings of hierarchy. They're just buddies. And the president of Finland had a very famous sauna where he would entertain presidents of other countries. And maybe the meetings didn't go so well, but the discussions in the sauna would often solve big political negotiations. And so there's this total range of social, personal bliss. It's a dream state, really. And any one of those things is an absolute marvel. And one thing that I thought of when Gail was talking was when I was out at the sauna days in Minnesota last spring, half the presentations were cold water swimmers and breath work and Wim Hof students, who's sort of the godfather of cold water. So there's a very sensible convergence coming through those traditions. And I think everybody was surprised. Both the sauna people were surprised at how interesting the cold water people were, and they were surprised at how neat the saunas were. So there's a lot of centrifugal interest that's jumping across borders, that's really neat. And I like following that.
Gail, why don't you tell us a little bit more about Cold Tits, Warm Hearts as the origin story of Selkie Sauna, and then talk a little bit about the benefits that you've seen from both experiences.
Yes, so Cold Tits, Warm Hearts is the name of our cold water swimming group. And it's a large group, probably 60 or 80 people on the WhatsApp chat that we have. But I would say regular swimmers, maybe 20, 25 people who do it. That I see anyway. It's surprising what Garrett was just saying about that the cold water swimmers and the sauna people are just kind of discovering each other, because it seems so natural to go together. I think as far as the health benefits, what you see in the cold water as you go through, it's like the hero's journey, right? As you go, that pain and the discomfort, and you kind of go through it, then on the other side is this very peaceful place in the cold water, and you're in the ocean or in a lake and just surrounded by nature, taking it all in. You find the same thing in the sauna as you go through that, the levels of heat and steam, and then the contrast when you come out of the cold and the heat, with the heat gets your heart rate up like you're running a race, and then you get in the cold water and you just slow way down, and then sitting outside kind of continuing that cooling process is just more, you kind of just get connected, you know, you get connected to your body and you're paying attention to what's going on inside your body, and you're also just out in nature. That's a key component, I think, for me, is that just spending time in nature. And Jackie could probably talk more about the different plants that you can bring into the sauna, but it's about that connection with yourself and the other people in the sauna and the natural environment around you.
Jackie, go ahead and talk a little bit more about that connection to cold water, because you bring your sauna to the ocean, and that's part of the experience.
Yeah, I guess I'll speak to my favorite part of the whole sauna experience is, of course, you get so hot that the best idea you have is to jump into really cold water. And my favorite part is coming out of the cold water and coming back into the sauna, and there's like anywhere from like 1 to 5 minutes where you just don't experience temperature, because you just got very cold, but you're in this like 150 to 180 degree space, and it feels like magic, and I'm addicted to those like 3 minutes, and so I like to do it over and over again. Like sauna just on its own is amazing, and sauna in nature is incredible, and it gives you the superpower to be outside and stand in the snow in the bathing suit or rain or get hail on you. And there's so many different sensations we can feel as humans, and I think it just gives us that safety net and protection to experience more on our skin. And you can bring nature into the sauna. Something that I've been learning about in the last year, I'm going to call them whisks, bundles of tree branches that still have their leaves on them. They're typically harvested in the summer. You can use them fresh, or you can dry them and rehydrate them throughout the winter. But last year I harvested a lot of yellow and white birch and red oak and sugar maple. And in the summer, you can incorporate a lot of flowers and medicinal herbs as well. And you use those in sauna to like massage yourself. And it's essentially anywhere from like light touch and vibration to full on thwacking yourself or somebody else. And it sounds way more intense than it feels. It feels really, really grounding and relaxing. And you can use the water from that, the rehydration from that steeping process, as the lolu on the rocks, and it just creates a really deep floral smell, woody, earthy smell in the sauna. And so all those plants have thousands of years of like folklore behind them that I can only speak to a tiny bit of, but they're all great to bring in sauna and just enhance your experience there.
We've got about 8 minutes left in our program. I think, Liz, you were going to ask a little bit more about the business aspect of how to put a sauna business together. And then I'll wrap up with asking Jared a little bit more about the book.
And just more generally, that there are home saunas, and then there are saunas that are mobile, and there are saunas that are intended for a wider audience, whether that's a nonprofit or a business. I always just tried to figure out logistically how a thing works. So I'm curious, for the operators of the two mobile saunas, like, how early do you have to get to where you're going to get the thing warm? And it does also have, like, you're carrying rocks in the top of the stove inside the sauna, or what do you have to do when you arrive at a place where you're setting up your mobile sauna?
Go ahead, Gail.
Okay. So the rocks are in the stove or on the stove. There's like a little rock kind of vestibule on top of the stove. And so the rocks get carried with the stove. You get into your spot. Hopefully there's a good place to park it. Nobody's, when we took it to the lake this winter, and we cut a hole in the ice, and we had to, I figured out we had to get there before the ice fishermen came and took all the good parking spaces. So you have to think about that. And then you start the fire, and it takes probably, I like to give like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours to get it the right temperature before people start using it.
So you're regularly pouring water over the rocks as the space heats up?
No. Just while you're in it, when people start using it. So the sauna is done in rounds of hot and cold, heating and cooling. And a round is maybe 10 or 15 minutes in the sauna at the temperature. And you might, depending on how much steam you like or how hot you like it, you'll be putting on some steam, some water within that 15 minute time. A couple of times you might do it. And then, if you do too much steam, you might cool, you're going to cool. Well, in our stove, you'll cool the stove down. So you'll lose the heat in the sauna. So you don't want to do that. So the steam happens while you're saunaing.
Okay. Jean-Yves, super quickly, you mentioned plans for an eventual Airstream part of your operation. What's that going to be?
It's going to be another mobile sauna, and it's we gutted an Airstream, and it's a long one, so there will be both a hot and a cooling area in it. It'll have a couple of bulkheads and be kind of very similar in design to like a barrel sauna, but built inside the mobile chassis, because, you know, the Airstream is curved like a barrel kind of. So it's going to have similarities inside in that way. Check back with me in 6 months and I'll tell you more about it. Right now, we can't work on it till the temperature is consistently over 50 degrees for the a thing we need to do to stop rust on the chassis before we go any further. So we're really kind of blocked while the weather is like this. I can tell you about my dreams, but check back later. Yeah.
and we can look up rest day and stay tuned. Great.
Garrett, for listeners who might not have seen your book, what do you hope that they take away from kind of engaging with the wonderful photographs, with the text? What do you want them to learn or take away from Sauna Magic?
Well, I think the structure is pretty broad, which is why I wanted to interview a bunch of saunas. So it's not just my perspective and my preferences, and you know, it's a beautiful thing. I want the beauty to radiate outward on every level it can. So it's a coffee table book. There's 166 images, color images on photo quality paper. Because I think that's a lot of the radiance is the aesthetic of the whole process. And because, you know, I have my own chapter in there on mine, so I can carry on about whatever I like, but the better parts may in fact be the other profiles, where there's a lot more diversity and a lot more nuance and differences in approach or personal tradition. The whole elemental aspect of fire, stone, water, and wood brings it all together, and it makes the sacred aspects surface by themselves. It's great.
And what I take away is that the culture is not fixed. It's growing. There's always a growing edge. For the rest of you, just one line hope that you might have, starting with Genevieve. What's your hope for the sauna traditions in Maine?
Just for my little niche, I hope that it brings people together from all different walks of life, both like people in the community and all the people that visit our community from the Appalachian Trail, hikers and other people that come to just have adventures in our neck of the woods. I hope Great. It brings people together.
How about Gail Gladstone? What's your one sentence hope for the sauna culture in Maine? Mm-hmm.
I like how you say growing edge. I think that's something that's really wonderful about it, is it's organic and similar to the cold water swimming. You find your place in it, and it's very personal for yourself, right. How it benefits you.
And Jackie, last word to you, your hope.
I have a vision that Maine will someday, every town wharf will have a town owned public sauna with hot showers.
Great. We've come, unfortunately, to the end of the hour. Be sure and join us from 4 to 5 on the second Wednesday afternoon of each month for Talk of the Towns. Podcasts of our programs can be found in the archive section of the WERU website. If you have comments or suggestions for topics, please email us at news@weru.org. Our theme music is a medley from Coronach on a Balnane House Highland Music recording. Thanks again to our guests, Jackie Stratton, Cedar Grove Sauna in Montville, Genevieve Parrish, Rest Day Sauna in Monson, Gail Gladstone is with Selkie Sauna in Bar Harbor, and Garrett Conover is the author of Sauna Magic, published in 2019 by Maine Authors Publishing. Thanks to our underwriters, and thanks to Joe Mann for helping to engineer our program. Stay tuned for Ralph Nader Radio from 5 to 6 and The Groove Shop from 6 to 8. Liz Graves and I are producers and hosts for Talk of the Towns. This is Ron Beard wishing you a good afternoon.